This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Cabell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
In this podcast, we answer some of the questions that you sent into us on our anonymous Google form, which you can find in the bio of this episode, and our social media channels. We're at The RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Wonderful. Let's get straight into them, because I think some people will have seen the title today and they'll be intrigued by that. But not only that, the first question we have is probably the longest question we've ever received. And I think we need to have a serious conversation from this point on about whether I stop reading them verbatim. I think we'll do today's, but maybe from now on we do need to start editing some of them down. But I just fear that we'll lose some of the colour, exactly. This is like the crossroads that they came to with Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Harry Potter number 4 was actually the first Harry Potter film they thought about putting into two parts, but they decided not to do that, and they saved that for the 7th book. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Sorry, Mum, wake up. Hello. You've fallen asleep. Yeah, I was just saying something really interesting about Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Okay, fine. Yeah, good. She's awake again. She's Snape. Kicking. Yeah. Yeah, Snape. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, anything else?
Professor McGonagall.
Okay, and Maggie Smith. That's a good bit of slash fiction, isn't it?
It's a good bit of
Snape
slash,
and McGonagall. Yeah. Yes, we talked about slash fiction a couple of weeks ago. Go back and listen to that.
But I think the actual truth is Snape and Dumbledore, actually.
Do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Dumbledore, famously gay.
Snape's bi. Or pansexual.
Snape would be bi or pan, yeah. Mm. Anyway, something for you all to discuss in the comments of the YouTube video. Please do check us out on YouTube as well if you'd like to see us. I'm in the office today. Mum's at home. But we need to, Diggory, stop getting... I'm getting distracted. Here
easily
we go.
Easily distracted. That's what they always used to put on your school report, wasn't it? Easily
they
distracted.
They did. Do you know what? I got easily distracted, too honest, and...
Ooh.
Do you remember I was too honest because, you know, teachers would be like, where's your homework? And I'd be like, didn't do it. And they'd be like, at least make something up.
The dog ate it.
Yeah, I did say that. Famously, I also said, I did it on the dinner table, spilt gravy on it, and dad ate it by mistake. That's always a good one. Unfortunately, I've definitely said that on the podcast before, but very good. I also got, you know, if Diggory has to explain something, he can do that very easily. If he has to write it, that is the real issue.
Mm.
I once was given back a bit of homework. And this is quite evil, actually. My English teacher was going around and giving back homework to everyone one by one in the class, going, oh, Chloe, didn't you do well? Oh, Matthew, didn't you do well? And then came to me and went, I couldn't read a word of this, Diggory. Your handwriting's terrible. See me afterwards. And you know, that was in front of everyone.
Yes. Not okay, is it?
And this explains a lot. My first thought, this is the first thing I thought to do. I took the piece of paper from her and put it immediately in my mouth and just started to eat the paper. And I think back to that moment a lot, because I'm like, what was going on there for me? Because I think now that is me very much trying to be like, I've just been humiliated and now I'm going to try firstly, literally eat the evidence.
You're always eating the evidence.
That's true. I'm a hungry boy. But yeah, slightly worried that there's more going on there. Anyway, that's not for this podcast. That's for my other podcast called Inside Diggory Weight. It's actually got more listeners than you think and views. Right, shut up, Diggory. Get to this question. Here we go. I would love some advice on how to process a recent... Oh, right. Oh, yes. Sorry. Mum and I discussed I have such crippling dyslexia. Mum is going to read this. So strap in, everyone. Here we go.
Oh, God. Okay. Now see how bad my dyslexia is. I would love some advice on how to process a recent breakup. I actually had a query read out on the podcast before about dealing with my partner's insecurity. I got such a shock listening along and then recognising what I'd written. But I suppose in a way it was the first step towards admitting that something was really wrong. We went on a break just before Christmas and mutually decided to end things a few weeks ago. We were together for about a year and a half in total and it felt very committed and we would often talk about the future. We also had a lot in common and most of the time my partner was very loving, fun and attentive. However, a small but significant proportion of the time, he really struggled with self-esteem and insecurity, particularly around sex and relationships. His parents had a messy divorce when he was younger, and it sounded like his dad was quite emotionally abusive, and I think he was dealing with the ramifications of that for him as an adult. But he'd accused me of triggering certain painful thought patterns for him, and tell me I needed to be more careful in how I spoke to him. This was hard to resolve, as from my perspective, I'd never intentionally say anything to hurt him, so avoiding his triggers didn't seem actionable, because I could never predict them. He'd go into moods where he'd sulk, and we'd sit in silence, or he would question why I'd done or said certain things in a way that felt quite shaming, and I'd feel very trapped. We had arguments because he wanted to talk about moving in together, but I wasn't ready to make that commitment, partly because I needed more time, but also because I knew I would have felt unsafe, emotionally, not physically, if I were trapped in a house with him whilst he was in one of these moods. I think we should talk about that bit. There's two more paragraphs, but maybe we should talk about what we've got so far.
That's so clever. Let's do that. You see, this is why you should read them out in more, because I'm thinking, and you know, there's more to come. That's teasing little extra bits. But that is an interesting point to stop. So this person, would have felt unsafe in the house emotionally if they lived together. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, don't forget, we talk often about couple fit and why you're drawn to someone because of the challenges they present to you and, you know, how you manage your wounds in relation to their wounds. It's, you know, that's why you're drawn to somebody. And at some point, you may have had enough of what they have to offer. You may have done your developmental work and not need it anymore. And it sounds as if this person has been working through something that was appropriate to them, you know, and was okay with some of these not so pleasant aspects of the relationship for a certain amount of time. But then it was enough. It was enough. Whatever it was they were getting out of that, it ended. And so they were feeling trapped. This is a woman, by the way, 28 straight, and she was finding it harder and harder to manage the partner's insecurity, if you want to call it that, whatever it was. I mean, it's relevant that she says his dad was quite emotionally abusive because this behaviour is quite emotionally abusive, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's that thing of absolutely where it's like you don't know when you're being accused of triggering them. You don't know when that's going to come. And so, like you say, you would feel emotionally unsafe if you were like, oh, what if I'm then trapped with them? And so it feels like this person is also blaming you for getting them in this mood where they feel sad, but then also then maybe expecting you to get them out of that mood as well. So they're very much placing all the emotional needs of the relationship onto you.
Yeah.
Oh, responsibility,
yeah, yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
And that's often what's given to women. Women often hear this kind of thing. I mean, you know, women are expected often to maintain the emotional temperature, you know, whatever it happens to be. Now, we only have her side of this, so we don't know. She might have been a complete cow for all we know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he might have been ever so justified in saying, oh, you're triggering me. But also, I mean, people have to, you know, people are triggered. They have to manage those triggers sometimes. And it's fair enough to say, oh, I feel triggered or ouch or I need a hug or whatever. But not, you have to change your behaviour. Stop being you because I don't like it.
It sounds like walk on eggshells.
Exactly. If you're walking on eggshells or having to change your behaviour for someone else, run, basically,
yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Towards the end of the relationship, I was away for work, and he began to accuse me of being bad at communicating with him whilst we were apart. He even went so far as to suggest I should get tested for autism, as he thought it could explain why I was bad at communicating. I can see logically how all of this was largely his insecurity talking, or how it was evident that our attachment patterns and needs were just out of alignment. But I can't stop being bothered by everything he said to me over the course of the relationship. What do you think about that, Diggs?
I suggest that I should be tested for autism is interesting, because what we've heard so far, if this person is to be believed, which I'm always intending to believe someone who writes into our lovely podcast and listens to it, so I'm going to believe the writer, 28 straight woman. If she's to be believed, it very much feels like she is the emotional bedrock of this relationship, as we've talked about. So the idea that this person, because he doesn't like what she said at points, because it's triggered him, which she obviously, like she says, has never intended to do, that means that she's the one that's bad at communicating. And despite all the efforts that she's made to be the emotional bedrock of this and the mediator in this scenario, she's still bad at it and she's the one to blame, and that she should be tested for autism because she's so bad at this, feels wrong. And in fact, feels like such a feels like a horrible thing to say. And whilst this person is thinking that that could be his insecurity talking, or attachment patterns don't quite align, even then they're trying to mediate and they're trying to, you know, look for the best in this person.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very, such a sweet thing, whereas this person does seem hell-bent on being evil.
I mean, that's a bit extreme, But the autism comment is, it sounds as if it's meant to be hurtful, because there's nothing wrong with being autistic.
And No, absolutely not.
But it's thrown out as if there is. And,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And that's something to work with rather than to accuse. Even our breakup conversation, which felt largely amicable, was peppered with him calling me emotionally unintelligent and saying, albeit jokingly, that I'd be happy when I found someone 100% on the spectrum who didn't need to talk to me for 3 weeks. I was hurt because I felt like he was disregarding the time I'd spent listening, talking and comforting him when he was anxious or distressed, and discounting my advice for him to access therapy and talk through medications with his GP, both of which I know he's found helpful for improving his mental health. Again, logically, I know that on some level he was just lashing out because he felt hurt, but I find myself mulling over it more than I'd like. I'm mostly so relieved to be out of the relationship, but I'm not sure how to process these leftover feelings of anger, hurt and frustration. Any advice would be so much appreciated, and apologies again for such a long message.
Wow. Well, you certainly don't apologise, but we have more of the things that he said. The emotionally unintelligent, based on just this message alone, you sort of think, well, this person feels quite emotionally intelligent to me, or at least you wouldn't say they were emotionally unintelligent. And then, yes, this might be a joke, but I'd be happy if I found someone 100% on the spectrum so I didn't need to talk to you for 3 weeks.
I mean, it is lashing out, isn't it? And I think she's right. This partner needs to do some work on themselves.
Yeah.
So that they can have a conversation where they don't feel defensive whenever anybody talks to them and feel that they have to lash out and make the problem all be someone else's, and can take some responsibility for their own behaviour, is what it sounds like. But, you know, as I say, once again, we've only heard one side of the story, but if this is accurate, then it does sound as though they need, the other one needs to do some work. And in terms of what someone said, yeah, I mean, if you care about somebody, and it does sound like she did, and they're saying these horrible things, it does make you feel bad about yourself, and it does make you think, well, is this fair? You know, am I really like that? Am I really this awful?
How do you process something like this? Because like she says, she feels like for the most part it's good, but this person sounds like they did really get their claws in at the end, and the things that they've said that were so hurtful understandably have stuck around. So what people often say after a relationship is they look back and they remember the good times, and this person may well be doing that, but the horrible things they've said might be ringing in their head, and they might think, well, maybe it is my fault that we broke up, and maybe I am, you know, emotionally unintelligent, all that sort of stuff. This sort of stuff is going to go round and round and round and round in your head. How do you stop that from happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to go back again to those ideas about couple fit and what you got out of the relationship for as long as you did. I mean, maybe what you needed was a sense of yourself, and somebody being this critical has actually left you with a sense of what you do well. So maybe the having the partner who was so critical has made you think, well, actually, I'm not as bad as all that. I have all these qualities. I've been kind of been caring. I've listened. I've been helpful and I'm okay. And maybe you're coming out of this relationship feeling good about yourself. Whereas if you'd had, you know, if it had just bobbled along and been all right, you may not have got that experience, that bit of learning about yourself. Mm. So maybe that this was meant to be, and now you can move on and hopefully find a kinder partner, more like you the next time.
Mm.
Some people who don't like their own aspects of themselves and their own shame will project it into the other person. And it sounds like that's what was going on here.
Yeah, exactly.
And so someone will find a partner who'll accept those projections because there is a little bit of you that doesn't feel good enough. So it's very easy then to make you feel not good enough at all. And you've come to a point of saying no to that. And that was probably the work you needed to do in this relationship. That's probably why you chose this partner, because somewhere you knew that you were going to do this.
Wow. Well, I would recommend, I mean, we're sort of referencing it a lot here, but go back to our episode on the three reasons why you're attracted to someone, because we talk about a lot of that there and the work that you're doing in relationships and stuff. But this is kind of what I was going to say. I mean, this is for me is a huge pro of you in that you heard all these things and other people would have heard their partner saying all this and gone, yeah, you're right, I am like that. That person then would have been able to control you in that way, whereas you've gone, you know what, actually no, which is amazing, and you should be
take the learning.
The thing now is about taking the learning. Exactly. I think let's have a break, and we've got two more questions after the break, and both of them are about breakups. So we will talk more about processing and more about breakups after that.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. We have, as promised, two more questions on breakups. So, I'm a man, 26, from Switzerland. Can I just say, by the way, well done on reading all that out before. I know we cut it up into chunks, but really well done. That was great.
You
might
see
that more often. I'm a man, 26, from Switzerland. After my ex broke up with me, we were together for 5 years, I have been struggling with arousal and sexual drive with any women I tried to have intercourse with. Most of the time, I either cannot orgasm or get very anxious, which quickly prevents me from enjoying anything I am doing. Moreover, I cannot prevent myself from comparing any women with my ex, and none of them is ever good enough from my perspective. I'm bi, and this has not happened when I have sex with men. My feeling is that after the breakup with my ex, I struggle to bind and trust women at all. How do I get out of this? Thanks a lot for your answer, and lovely podcast, heart emoji. Thanks.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
That's very sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, really sorry about the breakup. That's a shame. But it's not surprising. We said earlier that it's difficult when you're in a new relationship to get used to someone else's body. And it does take a while. So it's not really surprising that you're finding it easier with men. than with women. And, you know, and it might turn out that you're more attracted to men, you know, who knows, or this might, or at this time you might be. So that, and that's okay. So maybe take a break from women for a little while, or just be very aware that it's going to feel strange. It's going to be difficult. I would say also women are more difficult to have sex with in some ways.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that.
Yeah, it's likely to be challenging after a 5-year relationship. And this sounds normal, and it sounds as if you're sort of pathologizing yourself or thinking there's something wrong, you've got real big trust issues now. No, you're just normal. This is what happens after a breakup. It's unusual. There are some people that can go straight from a relationship and then have loads of fantastic sex with loads of people. Unusual, really unusual. That's more unusual and abnormal than what you're doing. So, you know, feel good about yourself. Just enjoy, take your time, don't rush things.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder though, I mean, 5 years, that is a long relationship. It's very long. Some serious time spent there. You will be set in your ways. And maybe you haven't really spoken about how things ended. I sort of wonder whether things didn't end so well.
Ex broke up with me.
Well, this is kind of what I mean, right?
That's why he thinks he's got trust issues.
Maybe
he's still in love. Yeah, maybe. He says they're not good enough. The women he's meeting aren't good enough when he compares them with his ex. This is somebody who needs some time to get over this relationship.
Yeah, I think that's basically what I was trying to say. Yeah, I wonder whether, you know, you can feel these feelings, but don't think, oh, what the hell's going on? Just be like, this is natural. You know, you sort of need time to heal this. There's not really much else that you can do. And it's totally natural to feel this way and not something to be afraid of. It's not like you're never going to trust another woman ever again. You're only 26. But, you know, you can, like you say, you can have... What else would I say? Yeah.
Diggory, spit it out.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say have sex with more men.
Yes.
I think.
Well, if it works.
I mean, that's working. Exactly. And then, hey, every now and then you'll have sex with a woman and it might get... Is that a cat?
Yes. Did you hear that? Whining. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I can. Where is he? Hello. It has been a while.
Hello.
Oh,
he doesn't look impressed.
No, he doesn't look impressed. He is purring away though, isn't he? Is he looking for his dinner?
Probably.
Yeah, bloody hell.
And the sun's come out, so that's what's interested him, I think.
Yeah, and when you say the sun, do you mean me or the sun?
I mean the sun, the weather.
Oh, right. Well, I just don't understand why he's inside.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to go out without food, I think.
Ah, right. Okay.
And I'm sorry, I'm here.
Right, well, to be honest, that's a good job, isn't it? Give it some time, keep enjoying having sex with men and have sex with women when you feel like it. How about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like he feels like it, but it just doesn't go very well. I mean, I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself that isn't necessary.
Exactly.
You know, take some time.
Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself. Take up macrame or jigsaws or something for a bit, maybe.
But like you say, don't pathologize yourself. Don't beat yourself up if it doesn't go so well with the ladies.
Yeah. Give it time.
Okay, amazing. Let's have our final question so you can go and feed Niles some lovely dinner.
Should I
tell my ex I'm sorry again? My ex and I was together for 1.5 years, a bit on and off. Under this time, I was in a very bad mental state, dealing with depression and anxiety, as well as a severe self-harm problem. When we decided to break up, I apologized for my behavior and the fact that I wasn't what he thought a relationship with me would be. He accepted the apology and we're now friends. We're on good terms and enjoy each other's company as friends. I've recently felt a lot better. My anxiety and depression is gone after I've started going to a therapist. After listening to your podcast, I've been thinking that my mental health might have affected him more than I've understood before. I feel really guilty. Should I apologize again to make him understand that I'm really sorry, or should I just let it go? FYI, we broke up about a year and a half ago. I don't want to get back in the relationship. I'm 20-year-old cis bisexual woman from Sweden. Love your podcast, by the way.
Oh, it sounds like you're on good terms. Everything's okay. I'm glad to hear you're going to a therapist. I always think that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah. I mean, even if your mental health did affect the other person, you weren't deliberately setting out to hurt them. And you've said, you know, you're on good terms. You've said what you wanted to say. Sounds like they understand. Sounds like you've got a good relationship now. You know, maybe talk about it again if it comes up. But otherwise, just enjoy moving on and developing the lovely relationship you've got now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, am I trying to read too much into this, or does it feel like basically they still like them?
I think you're trying to read too much into it. I think what is women feeling responsible again. It's, you know, again. It drives me round the twist. You know, girls play with dolls and look after people, don't they? They nurture. And boys are big and toughened and run around and get looked after. And on that basis, who's the more vulnerable, eh? But anyway, women are kind of nurtured and expected to do that. There's no reason why they should. It's ridiculous. But so many women take all the responsibility, all the being understanding and making everything all right.
Yeah. And I didn't like the line in there about, oh, you know, he said that going out with me wasn't what he expected it to be.
Mm.
That doesn't feel great. That sounds like the kind of thing that plays in your mind. You go, oh, yeah, that was because I was in a bad place at the time. Maybe I should apologise for that. No, I don't think you should apologise for that, for God's sake.
Yeah, isn't it? You know, you didn't have poor mental health deliberately.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point.
Clearly, the relationship wasn't improving your mental health. So, you know, how much was it contributing to you feeling bad as well? I mean, it works both ways.
Yeah.
So,
wow. That
sounds like you dodged a bullet there.
Well, I mean, or at least it's like, okay, well, it ran its course and you're friends now, so maybe nothing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
It would be different if they blocked you on all social medias and you never spoke to each other again and all that sort of stuff. And every time you talked to someone who knew them, they were like, oh, yeah, her 20-year-old cis bisexual woman from Sweden, she's a bitch. Like, then it would be different. But it's not that.
No.
Do you think, though, just in general, do you think sometimes in scenarios, not like this, but you can reach out to exes and apologise to them, even just if it was a long letter or an email or a text. Do you think that's good to do after the fact, or, you know?
It kind of depends, doesn't it? Because sometimes doing that is aimed at making someone feel bad again, stirring things up again, gosh. Making them feel, you know, you have to be very careful. Once you've said your goodbyes and you've moved on, why are you going back? I mean, there might be moments when it comes up. You know, when you're both in the mood for reminiscing, the conversation has gone back to that part of the relationship and there might be things you both want to say or need to say. I mean, if you feel very guilty about what you've done, then, you know, maybe. But it sounds as though the apology's already been made. They've moved on. Why would you rake around with it and potentially sort of say, oh, I'm a terrible person, you're great, when actually you're both great. Just get on with it.
Mm. I sometimes wonder, like, boiling down to it, what is this for? You know, that's why I sort of asked, like, is it to rekindle some sort of relationship? Is it to sort of get that conversation started? Well, if that's the case, just do that. If it's not
guilt,
to do that,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's if guilt. It's guilt, then as we're telling you now, do not be guilty. You did
well,
not.
Well, is it justifiable guilt? You know, I mean, have you actually done something horrific that you need to go back and apologise for that you haven't apologised for in the past, or to express your awareness that you've done something? You seem super aware. And you seem to have done all that. And, you know, there doesn't feel as if there's the need. You don't feel guilty.
If the mental health issues that you were going through at the time had some sort of strain on the relationship, you did not do that on purpose. That was not a malicious thing you did to anyone. You certainly wouldn't have done it to yourself. So why would you do it to anyone else? Why would you put yourself through that as well as anyone else? So you shouldn't feel guilty about that. So, yeah, I think sometimes it's just about, like, what is the purpose of this? And I think the purpose is... for us, at least, from what you've told us, there is no need to go back and say sorry again.
No.
Great. Amazing. Well, Mum, head downstairs and fill that cat's bowl up. Mm. Everyone else, get yourselves over to Apple Podcasts. Get yourselves over to Spotify. Get yourselves over to YouTube. Rate us, review us, like us, follow, subscribe, you name it. We'd love all that because it really helps us out. The more you like it on YouTube, it gives it to other people. The algorithm loves it. If you rate us 5 stars on Apple, you can write us a review. We might read it out on air. On Spotify, same again. Go to the show page, give us 5 stars. We'd love that. It really, really helps us out, helps us get the word out. Keep your questions coming in. We're loving them. We're loving you, as always. And we'll see you next time, if you're following, if you're subscribed, for some more real sex education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.